We're going to begin our time with a short video, which is a representation of the whole of chapter 17. So listen carefully. The picture may be a little bit dull on the screen because of the light in the room, but please listen especially for the words that Jesus is saying here in this prayer.
After Jesus finished saying this, he looked up to heaven and said,
Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all people, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours. And all you have is mine. And my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me. I protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the man who was bound to be lost, so that the scripture might come true. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world, so that they may have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness. I gave them your message, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but I do ask you to keep them safe from the evil one. Just as I do not belong to the world, they do not belong to the world. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. I sent them into the world just as you sent me into the world. And for their sake, I dedicate myself to you in order that they too may be truly dedicated to you. I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they be one so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one just as you and I are one. I and them, and you and me, so that they may be completely one, in order that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them as you love me. Father, you have given them to me, and I want them to be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, the glory you gave me. For you loved me before the world was made. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you sent me. I made you known to them, and I will continue to do so, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and so that I also may be in them.
When I see this video this week, when I saw this video this week, I started to think that sometimes I like to watch videos about time travel. I always was fascinated, and I always want, oh, if it was me, I can travel in the time. And I said, I would really want to be in that moment. I started to feel Jesus just walking by them, knew everything, what's happening with him, all suffering. He just go through and just bless him. I know what you're going through. I know what the cries you're going through after when I'm going to the Father. What's a very important moment in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We have a privilege here to participate, to hear a very deep moment where Jesus is talked to the Father. Jesus is expressing the desire of his heart before going to the cross. Jesus knew his suffering was very near. He had already set up the supper, broken bread. He had already warned that Judas would betray him and that the others would disperse. And when you look for this chapter, we see very clear that Jesus made three different requests. First of all, he prayed for himself. And from verse 1 to verse 5, he said to the Father that he had completed his work here on earth. Then he prayed for his disciples, asked the Father to protect them, to sanctify them. From verse 6 to verse 19, we can see this clear. Then, the last part, he prayed for his church, for those who will believe on him after that time. He prays so we can be united in him and that one day we can participate in his glory. Jesus did not say one word against his disciples. Jesus made no reference to the fall and failure of them. Jesus focused his prayer in the eternal purpose of the Father. Jesus prayed all requests of Jesus in this prayer was to bless them, spiritual blessings. The Lord did not ask for riches, honor, or political influence in the world. The request of Jesus focused on asking the Father to protect them from the evil, to separate the disciples from the world, to empower them to go to the missions, and to bring them safe to heaven. But when I was reading this chapter with this vision, with so clear division, these three different requests, three different prayers, I also see that we can learn a lot about four themes that were inside that prayer. The first theme was salvation. Verse 1 to verse 5. What can you learn about our salvation? This first thing I can't see behind these words is the instrument of salvation, the cross of Christ. In verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." The time had come. The birth, the life, the death of Jesus Christ was not an accident. All things that happened was according to God's plan. Jesus often said, if you read the book of John, he said, "Oh, it's not time yet. The time is not come, but now the time is coming." It is on the cross that he fulfills the plan of the redemption. It was in the cross that he crushes the serpent heads. It was in the cross that he wins the principalities and powers. It was on the cross that he reveals the world, the God's love. All things was in the cross. We can see here not only the instrument of the salvation, but the essence of salvation. Verse 2 and verse 3. For you granted him authority of all people that might give eternal life. For you granted him authority of all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus received authority to give eternal life. Eternal life is a gift from God that is given by Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but has passed from death to life. There is no eternal life without Christ. And if you are here and listen the word of God time by time, you not understand yet that. It's not about religion, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. We can see here too the consummation of salvation, verse 4. I have brought your glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Dear brother and sister, the salvation is done, is finished. Salvation was a work which the Father gave to the Son, and the Son, he came and finished. We have our salvation because the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. On the cross, he cried out, "It's finished, it's done." And this word, this expression in Greek, means two things. First of all, it's the idea of one promissory note when it's paid. And somebody go and stamp. Tetelestai. It's done. It's finished. And when we receive the document of our property, what's written in this document? Tetelestai. It's done. You belong to God. It's done. Nobody can touch you anymore. You belong to God. It's finished. We can see here in verse 5 the reward of salvation. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus asked to the Father to give to him the same glory, the glory that he had before in heaven. He humbled himself, but now Jesus returned to the heaven and resumed his position of glory, honor, and majesty. Jesus asked that his church may have the same glory he has in heaven. In verse 24, you can see this later. We will share the Jesus glory, the glory of Jesus. We will be with him, and we will see him face to face. Imagine that. Face to face. One day, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will see Jesus face to face. And we will not be like some movies. Jesus was white, blue eyes. No. She was more brown skin. You know, some movies we see before, and you see like Jesus with blue eyes, almost blonde, I don't know. No. But Jesus will touch you. We will see him face to face. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Dear friend, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The first theme you saw was salvation. The salvation we have is because of Jesus Christ. It was because that moment, the moment of the cross, the moment of his suffering. The second theme I saw is security. We are secured in Jesus. Verse 6 to verse 15. First, our security is based on the fact that the Father chose us. And I love say that because I'm a Presbyterian. God chose you. Four times, Jesus said that the disciple gave it to him by the Father. Four times. Verse 2, 6, 9, and 24. Pay attention to this. Not only Jesus is God's gift to the church. The church is the Father's gift to Jesus. I will say again. Not only Jesus is God's gift to the church. The church is the Father's gift to Jesus. We did not choose God. God chose you. The security of salvation is not based on our character, but on the God's character and on the perfect work of Jesus Christ. It is in Him who keeps us and saves us. It is Him who leads us and takes us to the heaven. It's all about Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 37 to verse 40. It's about that. That was that those whom the Father gives to Jesus, they will come to Jesus. And those who come to Jesus, He will never cast them out. Verse 37 says, all those the Father gives me will come to me. It's all. It's not some. It's not only those who want to go. But all that Jesus, that God gave to Jesus. And whoever's come to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, God has promised you, you will be there. Not because of you, but because of Jesus Christ. Our security is based on the care of Christ upon us. Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. But that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus is the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. He takes care of His sheep and leads to heaven. The truth is, Jesus saves us. Jesus protects us. He protects His disciples. Nobody was lost except the son of perdition. Maybe you ask, but why Jesus did not keep Judas? The truth is, Judas never belonged to Christ. Jesus faithfully kept all that Father gave, but Judas was never given by the Father. You can take a look later, but Judas did not believe really in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, 64 to 71. Judas had not been purified. John chapter 13, 11. Jesus talked about His disciples. Says, all of you were purified, unless one. Judas was not purified. He was not among the election, the elect. John 13, 18. Judas is not an example of a Christian who lost his salvation. He is an example of one unbeliever who pretend to be a Christian, pretend to be saved, and that in the end he was unmasked. Our security too is based on the intersection of Christ. You can see verse 9, 11, 15, and 20. Christ prayed for his disciple. He prayed for Peter when he was being sifted by the evil. Now he prayed for them before Jesus going to the cross. Jesus made two main requests here regarding the disciple. First, Jesus prayed to them for God protecting them from the world. The world hates us. The world opposed to God. So Jesus prayed for his disciples, say, God, protect them for the world. Jesus prayed for them too, to be protected from the evil. And the evil here is the evil one, is the enemy. The evil is a real enemy. He entered Judas and led him down the path of death. If you remember, Paul says that the evil, he blinded the mind of the unbelievers. Paul says that we must stand against the ambush of the evils. Ephesians 6, chapter 11. Peter says that the devil walks around us, seek whom he may destroy. 1 Peter 5, 8. But the Bible says that Jesus is the right hand of God, intercede for you. One day, devil try to touch you. When the devil try to accuse you, Jesus say, Father, he is mine. Father, you give him to me. Father, you gave her to me. It's my blood. I pay the price. This is our security. It's not because you. It's not because of me. It's because the love of Jesus. And Jesus is, second by second, intercede for his church. Intercede for you. Intercede for me. You can see this in Hebrews chapter 7, 25, when talk about Jesus lived to intercede for us in heaven. So far we saw two themes. So salvation, security. Now we have the third theme, is holiness. Verse 17 to 20. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Our entrance into heaven, it's all by grace, it's not by work. But the truth is, heaven itself would not be heaven for us if it was not a place of holiness. Only the blood of Christ can enable us to enter in heaven. We are sanctified by the word. Verse 17. And verse 14 said that Christ gave the word for us. The word is truth, and not only contains the word. Without knowledge of the word of God, there is no spiritual growth. I like one phrase of Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody wrote on his cover of his Bible. This book, he's talking about the Bible. This book will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep away from this book. The Bible will keep you away from sin, or the sin will keep you away from the Bible. I want to talk to you, for everyone here, include myself, there is no spiritual growth without read scripture. There is no spiritual growth if you not read the Bible. Because the Bible was given to us so we can connect, we can know more about God. You cannot grow spirit only watching TV. It's hard for you to grow spirit just because you come to the church. And you think, okay, I check. Sunday, I went to the church. Check. I did my duty. I went to the church. No. God wants more and more from you and me. Relationship. Spiritual growth. And only through the scripture and prayer. Salvation, security, holiness, and the fourth last theme I saw was unity, verse 21 to verse 26. The truth is, unfortunately, we have seen many divisions and disagreements in the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. The unity that Jesus is talking about here is not external. He is not talking about a denominational unit. Jesus is not talking about here about ecumenism, whereas the idea they unite all religions. The unit that Jesus talks about here is a supernatural unit. And because of that, the church must seek unit, because Jesus asked that to the Father. Verse 21, 22. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Everything in this text is about unity. Jesus has only one church. Jesus has only one flock. Jesus has only one bride. His church. The church must seek unity because of our spiritual origin. 21. If you are children of God, and if you are member of the same body, we need to walk together. Imagine a leg try to walk separate from the another leg. We are the same body. If Jesus is our Lord, then you cannot live fight each other. Our spiritual origin should compel us to seek to live together, to live together. We were made to live in unity. That does not mean that sometimes we have different opinion. In some way, I believe church is like a marriage. Sometimes I think different than Andrea. I know many times I'm right, she is wrong. No, it's not about that. No, I was just... Sorry. Sorry. 1 week on the couch. No, but what I'm talking about is, but it's not because I think different that we cannot be together. But we need to respect our opinion. And we can live together. In the church here, we have people with different point of view. But one thing we have in common. One thing we have in common is our love of each other, in our marriage, in our vows. First, our vows. Second, our love. Maybe you disagree the order, but I said exactly with my purpose. I made my vow when I married her. And this is more important than everything, because love we build was my vow before God and before her. Okay? But we as a church, we belong to Christ. We are in the same body. And we have to learn how to live in unity. Because in our origin, our foundation of us, our spiritual foundation, is based in unity. Jesus and the Father are one. Everyone. The church must seek unity because of our mission of the world. Verse 23. I in them and you in me, so that they may brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. The lost world is not able to see God, but they see the Christians. The people that are lost cannot see God, but they see you. They see me. If they see love and harmony and unity in the church, they will believe that God is love. If they see hate, division, they reject the gospel. The greatest witness of the church is the fellowship among his brethren. It's the love we have with each other. This is the greatest witness we have. Jesus said that the ultimate test of discipleship is love. John chapter 13, 34. They said, you know, if you love each other, the world will see that you are my disciples. The church must seek unity because of our eternal destiny. Verse 24 to 26. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. Jesus prayed to the Father for his disciple to see his glory and be in heaven with him. If we will be in heaven, if we will live together for eternity, how can you say that you cannot get along with each other here? We must live. We must learn how to live together, because we spent together for whole eternity. Sorry, Andrea, I have to, because come, I have to say. So, few times in our marriage, we get some very high argument. Few times. But it's wonderful when both of us has our marriage on the base on Christ. And when you talk and the things go, we said, do you know? And sometimes she says, sometimes I said, but when I said, do you know, I don't believe in divorce. You don't believe in divorce. So we need to figure out. And this work for 21 years. And this will work like that for all eternity, because in the eternity I will find you there. We are one body. One body. We must learn. I need to say that to clean the couch before, so I have. Okay. So We do not sorry. We don't see Christ now. We read about him, we hear about it, we believe in him, and we rest our souls in his finished work. Now we walk by faith. I know. We walk by faith and not by sight. But soon we will be in heaven with Jesus. And then the situation will change. We will see him as he is. And we will share the same glory of Jesus. Then we will see him as he is. Then we will know him as we are known. We saw today that before this very this huge moment in the life of Jesus, he prayed for him. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for the future, for the church was given. And we could learn so many themes inside this prayer. Salvation, security, holiness, and unity. And my question is, how can I apply this in my life now? What can I bring now? Specific things. First of all, believe on him. You are saved not because you come to the international church. You are saved because you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life. And only through him we are saved. It's not by works. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing, talk about security. Rest on him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. Because your life is in God's hands. He is in very good hands. I can fail you. Fear can fail you. Can disappoint you. But Jesus will never disappoint you. And he is praying for you. Jesus is looking to you. He is protecting you. So rest in him. Don't be afraid. Even when the circumstance of the life, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. Jesus is there. Third, holiness. Live for him. We not buy our salvation because of our good work, because we are a good Christian. We should live as a good Christian because we have already our salvation. It's the way I say, God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you, Jesus. Because of that, it's nothing in my life I can do that I can pay. And I want to worship you through my life. Holiness. Live for him. Be faithful to him. In every area of your life. Unity. Love each other. Express the love of Jesus Christ. Try. Strive. To be together. To work together. For Jesus. Because one day, if you believe in Jesus, we will be there. All together. For the whole eternity. God bless you.